Welcome back to the Man Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
And I'm Brock Martin.
Today we're talking about three reasons to remember dead people. This time.
Ooh. I see dead people.
Bringing me back to my childhood.
So it's November.
It is November.
We had Halloween recently.
All Hallows Eve.
And if anyone listened to our podcast last year about All Hallows Eve, we did some really cool new Catholic, which is now a tradition because we did it 2 years in a row, to celebrate Halloween differently. Do. I know Brock just had a baby, so he couldn't join us this year, but he was there in spirit.
You weren't there?
My kids were asking about it, and we were bummed to miss.
Dang.
But I'm glad you guys carried the tradition on.
It was great.
We'll be there next year.
So here's the thing. Even people who are non-Christians understand that Halloween brings about the idea of dead people because they put skulls and skeletons and fake bones in their front yard with headstones, and there's this reality that that even secularists understand that death is real. We're all going to encounter it, and it's either going to be a pretty exciting moment or a pretty terrible moment. But we have 3 points to walk through today about why we need to keep death in mind and dead people in mind.
Okay, so November, you mentioned November. There's a particular day. Obviously, November 1st is All Saints. We celebrate.
Yeah, I was gonna say
all those who are in heaven with the beatific vision. And then November 2nd is All Souls. What does that reference? The church suffering, right? So those are souls not in hell, right? But the souls that are not yet in heaven, but have left this earth. So those on earth are the church militant. Those that are still on the journey. And then once you've died, if you're not welcomed into heaven, you have a period of purification in purgatory.
Right.
Where the Lord is just getting you ready to be with him. So you will eventually be in heaven, but you're not there yet. So you're in this period of kind of suffering, of being purified. And so that's what November 2nd is all about, is to remember those who have died, the souls of the faithful departed, that through the mercy of God, they will at some point rest in peace. And so November has a lot of these themes of celebrating those that have gone before us, right? But those 2 days in particular stand out.
Yeah, and the whole month of November is dedicated to praying for the dead, to remembering the dead. And we're going to get in a little bit more to that church triumphant, church suffering, church militant distinction with the third point. So the first point of the three reasons of why we should remember dead people is that, number one, they are alive and experiencing something right now.
Yep.
And this can be a...
no matter what.
Yeah. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Everyone who has ever died is experiencing something right now.
Because our souls are immortal.
Yeah.
Yes.
C.S. Lewis has a great quote. I think it's in his essay, The Weight of Glory, where he says, "You have never met a mere mortal. You've never spoken to a mere mortal. Everyone who has ever lived still lives today, either as a unspeakable splendor or a tragic horror." I can't remember the exact language.
That's a great quote.
And I think it helps contextualize what we're getting at here. Everybody who has ever lived lives today, and they are experiencing something. And I think it's just a reality that is worth sitting and thinking about. Like your dead grandparents, great grandparents, your ancestors, maybe the friends that you've lost, the family members that you've lost, the people that you see who are dying on the news, the people who are in the tragic accident on the side of the road that you maybe say a Hail Mary for. Everybody who has ever lived still lives today, and they are experiencing something. I remember the first time I really thought about this was with my grandfather who passed away. And it was just a weird thought that Papa is somewhere. Like his soul is experiencing something right now. He's either experiencing the beatific vision, or he's experiencing the purgation of the attachments of the world that he needs to get rid of before he can enter into the perfection that is in heaven. Or, I hope this isn't the case, or he's experiencing eternal loss, like the reality that he is going to be separated from God for forever.
Yeah.
And that the weight of that, it just, it's heavy, but it's real. And I think it's worth thinking about and resting in.
And we have to think about that. We have to think about that because that's what matters in life. That is it, is to know, love, and serve God. And by doing that well, will help us in this experience that we too will have when we die.
To be with him in eternity.
Right? Yep. Like that's a reality. And all of us, the three of us here today and the many listeners around the country, around the world who are listening, we will all die. It's the one thing we all have in common. We will all die. Some of us tragically, God forbid. Some of us tragically, some of us peacefully, but we will all die. Some of us short lives, some of us long lives. And on that day, our eternal destiny will be decided. Mm-hmm. And we have to think about that now.
Right.
We have to keep the end in mind and realize that the life we're living right now is a mere snap of fingers in a moment of a long lifetime. I mean, and that's just a snapshot of eternity, right?
Right.
That this life is so minuscule, is so small, is so insignificant compared to eternity. And we will be alive and experiencing something the day after we die as well. We have to think about that.
Yeah, our life is a long, relatively, choice. That's all it is. That mm-hmm. journey. It's our choice of whether we want to be with God or not. But yeah, those that have gone before us are there. They're alive. The soul's immortal. Love these themes. And are we thinking of them? Mm-hmm. Are we remembering them? Especially mm-hmm. those that are in purgatory, those yeah. that are having a hard time because they're getting yep. purged, and that probably doesn't feel good.
I'm sure
and
it feels
awful. Are we praying for them?
But there's also this like reluctance to let go too, right, in purgatory. Being cleansed, they're still holding on to things, as Brock yep. said. And so that's the way I imagine it, is like they're reluctant to let go.
That's the attachments. Yeah, and that's what they're being
purified.
That's
the attachments.
Of, so it makes
and
sense.
So, yeah. But that's hard because they know that where they're going. If you're in purgatory, you will go to heaven.
Yep.
But I don't know how brutal or how long that time lasts for someone based on the attachments. When we just prayed in your backyard at the tombstone of family, I have had two cousins younger than me both pass away. One tragically and both surprising, both instantly, but one tragically. I don't know if they knew our Lord. I don't know if they did or not. I mean, they were raised Catholic and... But I don't know if they knew our Lord, if they knew him intimately. And when we were there and I said their names, I hope that in that moment they reconsidered.
Cried out for mercy.
And cried out for mercy and embraced our Lord.
Well, that's why you pray for them, because you pray not just for them in purgatory right now, this moment, but God is outside of time. So we can pray for them in that moment.
Yeah.
Lord, I hope in that moment yeah. they cried out, and that prayer is legitimate
yeah.
because God can operate outside of time. Still pray for
and
that.
And that takes us to point number two, which is intercession. And there's two types of intercession. There's what Thomas just said, our intercession for the souls in purgatory, mm-hmm. Specifically that our prayers can actually help
totally.
Them and impact yep. their experience and their time,
yep.
right? Even though it's outside of time, this beautiful mystery. But our prayers can impact that.
Yes.
So there's our intercession to them.
Yes.
And then for the souls in heaven, their intercession to us.
Amen.
Let me tell two quick stories about both of these cousins of mine. So I had the opportunity in the last 3 years to offer an indulgence for them. So with a plenary. Thank you. Gosh, English is my second language, believe it or not. With that kind of indulgence, you can actually retain it for yourself, or you can give it mm-hmm. to someone who has passed. And I gave both mine to these two cousins. And the priest, he was given this relic presentation at our parish holy name. He actually said, I always give mine away, because if there's a soul in purgatory that my indulgence then gets them to heaven, they will intercede for me
yeah.
forever.
Like yeah.
they will be a prayer warrior for me.
Amen.
And so I gave both my indulgences to my two cousins who had passed away, just hoping and begging the Lord to have mercy on them. And so
love that.
That's a dual action. I interceded for them. Lord willing, they are now basking in God's glory in heaven, interceding for me.
Amen. We hope for many reasons.
Yeah, I could use it.
Yeah, I think this concept of intercession is one that we in the first world often don't think about, right? Like it's very easy. You go to any funeral today, 99% of the time, what do you encounter? It's not, hey, we're praying for this soul. Mm-hmm. It's we're going to celebrate their life.
They're in a better place.
Yeah, heaven gained another angel today,
yeah.
which is, that's just theologically
well, it's just
not true.
It's a coping mechanism, right? It's this reluctance to accept reality and
yeah.
experience the gravity of the situation.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's why I think it's so important, because in our culture, it's often lost that when a soul mm-hmm. dies, there's a responsibility that we owe that person to pray for them.
Yeah.
And not just like in this ethereal, oh, we're praying for them in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
No, also because I know when I die, I'm yeah. going to need people praying
oh my
for
gosh,
me.
For sure.
And so I think that this idea of interceding for the holy souls in purgatory, the church mm-hmm. suffering, as you mentioned, Thomas, is one that in the month of November, we can really take strides. I shared a couple times on the podcast, one of the things that my family does, we try to pray the rosary every night, and during different months or different seasons, we'll kind of add little things that we're going to do to pray extra. So we just came out of the month of October, the whole month of October, we added an extra prayer at the end for the synod happening in Rome. After the rosary, just pray a simple memorare for the Lord's will to be done at the synod in Rome and to protect it from, you know, any actions of the evil one.
I love that.
For the month of November, we've started praying this famous St. Gertrude prayer for the holy souls in purgatory. And I just want to share it real quick because it's only a couple lines. But after the rosary, we say, "Eternal Father, I offer thee the most precious blood of thy divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today for all of the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen."
Amen.
And it's just an opportunity for me to recalibrate and remember, but also for my kids to experience, hey, there's a journey. We're part of a bigger family.
Mm-hmm. When my family was on this trip over the summer, we went to Boston and we went on kind of this Revolutionary War tour, and it was super cool. We got to go to all the different sites. And a lot of the cemeteries there were dominantly Protestant cemeteries. You know, a lot of the founding fathers were dominantly Protestant, even anti-Catholic. And so as we walked through cemeteries, because, you know, Sam Adams was in one and Ben Franklin's parents.
Did you dump some beer on his grave?
No, but I think bottle caps. I've seen bottle caps there before. but Allie, my wife, made a great point. She said, we need to ask for the intercession of these people. Many of them knew our Lord and are probably in heaven, and no one is asking for their intercession. And because Protestants don't believe in that, they don't, you know, they just don't go there. And so there's no one asking for their intercession. And if we can, I mean, every cemetery we go by, we can say, Lord, like all the Protestants in there who knew you, who loved you, who are with you now, I invite their intercession into my life. And I just thought it was so cool. It was such a vivid, like real way to look at intercession and this reality that they are experiencing something, and many of them are experiencing heaven, and they now know the truth, and no one is asking for their intercession. Why not take them up on that?
Full advantage of
for
that.
For sure. Yeah. I loved it. It made the whole idea of all this real.
Well, in Luke chapter 20, the Lord says God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.
Amen.
And so for any of our, you know, Protestant listeners, once you go to heaven, you don't stop being alive, to our point. Like you're actually still part of the church. And that's the third point, is this, that these are all still our brothers and sisters, right? Where the church is big, not just what we see on earth, but what is not on this earth. There's more souls that aren't here that are our brothers and sisters. Yeah. So again, Luke 20, beautiful. God is the God of the living. We're all still alive. And to be able to lean on one another, whether they're the souls that are in heaven, and some we know because they're the saints, the church has said they're in heaven. Some we still hope, but either way, the souls that are on their way through purgatory will be there. And so let's have each other's back, because this is a battle that we all need to be a part of. Those that are the church militant, the church suffering, and the church triumphant.
Now, I think the broadening of the perspective is awesome, because we do, and I'm totally guilty of this too, we have this myopic or nearsighted view of the church, right? If I ask you what is the church, you're either going to say the building that you worship in. If you've got a broader understanding, you'll say, oh, well, it's the body of Christ, at the body of believers all over the world. That's the church. But even that is short, because the church, as you mentioned, Thomas, you broke the distinctions up. It's not just the church here on earth. The church properly understood is the church here on earth, the church militant, but also the church triumphant in heaven and the church suffering in purgatory. And there's this broadening of our perspective, because you read any Catholic publication, you listen to most Catholic podcasts. I mean, we're guilty of this too. It's like, oh, the church is shrinking. No, actually the church is growing. There are people being added to the church triumphant and the church suffering every single day. Yeah. And there are people being added to the church militant here on earth. So the church militant might be getting beat up in different ways, and it certainly is. But this idea that the church is shrinking is actually, that's just categorically false. The church is growing and will continue to grow until the end of time. And I think that as men, that can really, this is one of the reasons this is on the list. Three ways that dead people matter is that it can broaden your perspective to give you confidence that you're on the winning team. Like the Lord will return to judge the earth.
And to Steve's point, you will be a dead person.
Yeah.
But that's still alive.
Yeah.
That's the point, yeah.
And this is why I love the church's approach to Halloween, to All Saints Day, to All Souls Day, is because they get it. And our Protestant brothers and sisters in the secular world has distorted that yet again, just like all the other beautiful holidays, to mean something completely different, where we throw out ghosts and demons and weird stuff. I mean, witches, look at the movies that came out around Halloween with, you know, it's just crazy. And that's not, that has nothing to do with what Halloween is intended to teach us. And I think what we're talking about today is precisely that, that we will die, that we will be faced with a certain experience, that we will die but still be alive, that we will need intercession, and we will, Lord willing, one day be able to intercede for souls for eternity until our Lord comes again on this earth.
Isn't the Latin memento mori?
Yeah, mori.
Remember death.
Remember your death. And yeah. This is part of the reason every Hail Mary you say, we pray, now and at the hour of our death.
Those Franciscans are the two most important times of your life.
That's true.
Right now and at the hour of your death.
You know, I got this idea from Fulton Sheen when we were hanging out. He would pray three Hail Marys asking Saint Joseph's intercession, but pray three Hail Marys for the grace of a happy death. Mm. And so I do that every time I'm in the shower for my family, friends, loved ones. So
that's awesome.
Because we want, when that moment comes, that it's a good moment and we're in the right place.
So just to recap our 3 points. Point one, that even though you die, and those who have died are still alive and experiencing something right now. Two, because they're alive and experiencing something, we can intercede for those in purgatory and we can ask for the intercession of those in heaven. And three, that our own perspectives might be broadened, that we might consider the reality of our own death that will happen and how we can better live now to prepare for that.
Amen.
That's it for the Man Catholic Podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. God bless.